each of St. Peter and St. Paul. St. Peter, the uneducated fisherman from Galilee, became the prince of the apostles, the first pope, and St. Paul, the well-educated and cosmopolitan Jew, took the gospel to the furthest reaches of the then known world. Now, according to the venerable tradition of the church, Peter and Paul were martyred together in the year 64 at Rome by the Emperor Nero. It is said that St. Paul, as a Roman citizen, had the privilege of being beheaded by a sword. Peter's death was foretold by our words we just heard in the gospel to be stretched out for hands. And Peter was put to death by crucifixion, only he thought himself unworthy to be put to death in the same manner as his master, so he was nailed to the cross upside down. Now, the collect for this morning's Mass speaks of Peter and Paul as examples, and so they are. They are examples of how God can bring about a change of heart. Those who had previously denied him, in the case of Peter. You'll notice that Peter denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed, and today Peter said, "I love you," three times. Or in the case of St. Paul, how Jesus makes friends out of those who were his enemies. They teach us also that those who quite faithfully follow in the steps of Christ will also have to share in his suffering. This morning I want to talk about these two men as examples. I want to talk about Peter and Paul as friends who watch over us, who intercede for us with their powerful and unceasing prayers to God. I want to do this by talking about the humanity of Jesus. Now there is a tale which is very ancient, which is probably known in all cultures and in all times, and that is the story of a child who has been brought up by wolves. The she-wolf, the story goes, somehow picks the baby up from the village cradle, takes him off to the jungle, and suckles him. And years later, the child is found running wild with the wolf pack and behaving like a wolf. And sometimes the tale is that the child is never humanized. Sometimes the tale is that the child is slowly socialized into being a man. Now, whatever we think of the factual basis of such a tale, it points to the truth that without other human beings, we can't be human. And the same is true for Jesus. He needed a mother to smile at him. He needed a foster father to talk with him if he was ever going to be a man. The divine life came to earth in Jesus, but the divine life did not act in Jesus alone. God uses his parents and his friends to make Jesus a man, and he used his disciples and apostles and associates to keep him a man. We cannot go on being human any more than we get to be human without other people. Now, what is the painter without his colors? What is the teacher without pupils to draw wisdom out of the teacher's heart? And what can a savior be without souls to attract to God by attracting them to himself? Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man, could only be Jesus by having Peter and other friends to be himself with. Now, in death, Jesus was separated from his friends. He was cut off from the land of the living. But no sooner had he been raised from the dead than he was amongst his friends, walking and talking and breaking bread. And by his resurrection, Jesus continues his divine human life amongst old friends like Peter, and he even makes new friends like Paul. You know, it might surprise you that we have no scriptural record of Jesus and Paul meeting on earth. It was only the risen Lord who appeared to Peter and Paul on the Damascus Road. And Jesus continues to make friends even to this day, friends that will one day sup with him at the heavenly banquet in heaven. Brings us back to Peter and Paul in this morning's Mass. The collect mentions the names of Peter, mentions the name of Paul. We preach their deeds in the sermon. But in a few moments, we set aside these martyrs, we set aside their death, and we commemorate another death in bread and wine, the death of Jesus in his body and blood. So, where did Peter and Paul fit in there? The answer is that Peter and Paul are only martyrs because their sacrifice was the act of Christ in them. And they are only saints because the risen Jesus lives his life in them. So above all, this is a feast of Jesus Christ. And it is action in Peter and Paul, you, me, and everyone else. And I don't know if you've ever been dragged off to a testimonial dinner. I find it incredibly frustrating. We get the guests seated at the head of the table, and people praise him in speeches, they drink toast with wine, it's all very nice. But it's a rather indirect way of showing distinction of a celebrity. And I think to myself, for goodness sake, let the person stand up and speak for himself. And then, when he does stand up, the true glory of the person shines forth in their words, in their face, and it is the light of the eyes and the ears. So if we are to truly praise the glory of Jesus enthroned in the highest heaven, by all means, let us raise hands in his honor. But like a testimonial dinner, that's a rather indirect way of showing the Savior's glory. So for goodness sake, let Jesus stand up and say, let Jesus stand up in his martyrs. Let Jesus stand up in Peter and Paul. In these two holy men, we see the vigor of God's saving love. In them, we see how Jesus works through the height and depth and length and breadth of earth and heaven, how God works through countless men and women in every age, stirring them up by his Holy Spirit to confess it as Lord. Because where Jesus is, there are his saints. His life never lives. His action never acts alone. He gives his friends everywhere a part of it. And there his fruit abides in them. So I'm sleeping now in heaven, Peter and Paul and all the saints. Praise Jesus in glory, their whole lives of prayer, holy prayers, strong prayers, wise prayers for God's church.